Jeff up there, are we going to sing another song? Pastor Charles had asked me to preach this morning, and no, I won't be singing the sermon either. So, but it's good to be opening the Word of God together this morning, and it's a great privilege every time we get the opportunity to do this. And so let me also just pray for our time and that the Lord would speak this morning. So pray with me. Lord, we do, we thank you for these words, even that we sung, reminders to us, God, that that you speak, that you, God, you have power. Lord Jesus, you roar like a lion. And so, God, we pray that you would do that, that you would speak into our hearts this morning through your word, Father. And so we pray that you would do the business, God, that you want to do with us. Pray that our hearts would be open, that you would open our hearts, God, that we might hear from you, and that there might be changes made, God, where changes need to be made in our lives. And so we pray that you would continue to mold us and shape us to be more like your Son. We ask this in your name. Amen. Please do turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark. There are Bibles in the pew there in front of you if you want to use those. I'm going to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. Mark chapter 1, 16 to 20, and this is our text this morning. Verse 16 reads this. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired hands and followed him. I want us this morning to look and to think a little bit deeper on this notion of following. Nowadays, largely because of social media, okay, everyone has a following and everyone is following someone. Just a quick show of hands, no judgment. How many of us are on some kind of social media? Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Snapchat, and the list goes on. Okay, most of us would be on one of those social media platforms. Technology has changed our lives, and this is one of those places that technology has really impacted the world, and we see these social media platforms everywhere. And it's interesting that on these platforms we see this notion of following. Everyone following someone. You click on their icon, you click on their profile, and you follow them. Everyone has a following. People are following you. We have these internal competitions. How many people follow me and how many people follow you? Beast has more than me, so he must be more popular. So that's just a huge part of our lives these days. I want us to look at some characteristics in this. What do we learn from this type of following on social media? I think there's some things as I want to point out is that on these, let's take Facebook for example, there's very much, it's a thing of convenience. And so you can follow somebody at your convenience. When it suits you, you can follow whoever you want and you click on that, and there's no commitment. There's no clause that you sign. There's no contract that you sign. I commit when I follow you to view your profile 7 days this week. There's no commitment to that. Or I'm committing to follow you, and I'm going to comment on your posts, and I'm going to do all these things. There's no commitment involved there. If you're like me, I'm technically on Facebook, but my activity was last seen maybe 2 years ago. So I follow people a lot on Facebook. Or you might be like my wife, and there's a healthy dose of activity on Facebook. But there's no commitment. There's no clause that you sign. And there's no cost. It doesn't cost you anything. There's no fee that you pay to follow people. Even though Beast is more popular than me, he doesn't have a fee that comes with following him. It's free. The cost is clicking on that icon and saying, I'm going to follow him. And so what I want us to do, we're going to look at our text this morning in Mark chapter 1. And we see there that Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him. So we see this notion of following. And in fact, this call is not just to his disciples, it's to all of us. Jesus is calling us to follow him. And so I want us to ask, what does it mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, follow me? Does he mean something along the lines of following, like we see on the social media platforms, at your convenience, follow Jesus, no commitment, no cost? Is that what he means when he says, follow me? Because in this day and age, that's what it means. When people follow each other on these platforms, that's all that it's required of you. Your convenience, no commitment, no cost. And so this morning, when Jesus says, follow me, what is he saying? Is it that, or is it something deeper? Is it something more? I think it's something more. Another question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, if you would evaluate your life, your following of Jesus, what would it look like? Would it look like more like what Jesus is going to describe in Mark chapter 1, or would it look like that Facebook type following? So I want us to look and just evaluate our own lives and say, what does my following of Jesus look like? I think today, most people in South Africa would say that they are Christian. The stats say, I think 76% of people in South Africa claim Christianity. So most people, if you had asked them, if you walked outside of church and you walked around and you say, do you follow Jesus? Are you a Christian? I think most people would say, yes. But Jesus says that this is not so. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 briefly. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is one of those sobering passages in scripture that I read, and I'm saying, Lord, I need to evaluate my life. I don't want to be one of those people one day standing before the Lord. I think there's a danger for us that go to church. We churchgoers, we in church regularly, we read our Bibles, we do these things. But yet one day we might still find ourselves in this category of people. Many people say that they follow Jesus. Many do. But there is a type of following Jesus that is shallow. There's a type of following Jesus that is surfacey, and it's displeasing to God. And then there's a type of following Jesus that is deep, that is rich, that is genuine, that is true, and that is pleasing to God. May we not be found in that category where we say we follow Jesus, but it's so surface, it's so distant, it's so much like that Facebook following that Jesus says one day, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We're going to come back to that passage a little bit. And so I think it's important for us to ask this question, what does Jesus mean when he says, follow me? Do we follow Jesus like that? What is the type of following, my type of following of Jesus? All right, let's get back into our text. Mark chapter 1. Let's read it one more time. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So what does Jesus mean when he says, follow me? Three things. Three P's. So I hope that will stick with you this morning. What does Jesus mean? He means proximity. Proximity. Look at verse 17. If we go to the next one and the next one. Verse 17, and Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Following Jesus literally meant following him. It's not rocket science. It literally meant that they had to leave and be in close proximity to Jesus. It meant that they had to go where he went. They had to be with him. It meant that they followed him from town to town as he preached. It meant that they ate with him. They had meals with Jesus. They walked with him along the road, and along the road he would teach them about stuff as they walked past the fig tree and Jesus zapped it and they learned a valuable lesson. And so just in the day-to-day life, this was an invitation to his disciples to be near to him, to be in close proximity to him, to be with him, to do life with him. I love this phrase. In the Jewish culture, it was known as walking in the dust of the rabbi. So you had a rabbi, you had a teacher, and you followed him. And I love that phrase. You get it. So you had to be so close. You had to follow so closely behind your rabbi that you were literally covered in the dust that came from his footsteps. This was an invitation to his disciples to be near to him, to follow closely behind him. The word disciple literally means to follow, to learn from someone by following someone. That's what it means to be a disciple. We are all called to be disciples, followers of Jesus. And that's an invitation to you and to me to be in close proximity to him, to be near to him, not just on a Sunday, not just on a Wednesday, but day to day, moment by moment, walking in a close, intimate, deep fellowship with Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. Are you walking in close proximity to Jesus? That's the question. That's what a disciple does. Are you walking with Jesus day to day in a relational way? Are you in communion with God? Do you spend time with him? Do you converse with him in prayer? Does he know your heart? Do you lay your heart before him on a daily basis, speaking to him? Are you listening to him through the speaking to you from his word? Are you in his word daily? Or do you see him once a week? Is your relationship, your following of Jesus, distant and far and so surfacey that you might connect with him once a week? Or if you're a type of Facebook follower like me, I clicked a friend 2 years ago and I haven't seen anything on their profile. I haven't posted anything. I've just lost so much content. But I'm their friend. I'm their friend. Is that what your following of Jesus looks like? To truly follow Jesus means relationship, moment by moment, day by day, intimate, close relationship with him. Not religion, okay? We've got to be careful. Yeah, we can't get this confused. It doesn't just mean come to church. It doesn't just mean do these Christian things so that you tick on your list. You're ticking these things off. I did these things. Remember Matthew chapter 7. God is not calling you to be to do these Christian-y things. Matthew chapter 7 said to us, Lord, Lord, did we not do these things in your name? Did we not do? We remember what, and at the end there, what was the issue? Why did God turn them away? I never knew you. Relationship, not Christian things. God is not calling us to legalistic religion, but relationship. Do you know him? Are you walking with him? Are you walking close to him? The second P, priority. following Jesus means priority. Look at verse 18 and verse 20. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Verse 20, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with these hired servants and followed him. Following Jesus meant prioritizing Jesus above everything else. There was a cost involved. It meant forsaking. It meant laying aside, putting everything else number two and making Jesus the priority. What it meant for these disciples is that they recognized that spending time with Jesus, learning from Jesus, being shaped and influenced by Jesus, that was the most important and the most urgent order of the day. And so they left families and they left their careers. Okay, they were fishing. When Jesus called them, they were fishing, not because that was their hobby. That was their career. It was their livelihood. And so we see that Jesus takes precedence even over our careers. He's number one, first priority. Jesus should take precedence even over our families. Not because Jesus is against families and he's against careers. He's not. He's for those things. But we can never get those orders switched. When good things like work and family become God things, that's a bad thing. Okay? When good things become God things, that's a bad thing. And so Jesus needs to be the number one priority. He needs to be first and foremost, take precedence over everything. And then those things like careers and family and hobbies and money and all those, they then find their rightful place, and we can then use those things to glorify God. Only when God is the number one priority in our lives. Is Jesus, as a follower of Christ, I'm asking us, is Jesus the number one priority in our life? Or does our careers and our families, do they compete for that place? Are they pushing Jesus out of that place? I remember for me, this became so evident in my life when I was a young believer coming to the University of Johannesburg, then Rao. So a little bit of an indication how old I am. So back then, first year at university, young Christian, and there was this calling from everyone. I was a rugby player, and so the call from our rugby coaches was, you need to make rugby the number one priority. If you want to make it, if you want to be a professional player, you need to forsake. Don't give as much time to your studies. Don't give as much time to the res activities. You need to think, breathe, live rugby. That was the pressure that was coming from the rugby side. And then you go to class, and what do they tell you? Look to your left, look to your right. Not all of you are going to make it. Okay, so you need to get serious. You need to make your studies a priority, and so that you can pass. Then you go to your residence, and then they're telling you, our res needs to be the best one on campus. You guys need to give and sacrifice, and you need to do all these activities. I was getting these pressures from all over. What needs to be the priority of my life? And we live in a world where there's so much noise, there's so many things that's calling for our attention, that's saying, I need to be your number one priority. It could be a girlfriend, could be a boyfriend, could be a husband, could be a family, it could be anything that's calling for your attention, your heart, to be set on those things. And I remember struggling, wrestling with how am I a Christian following Christ with all these other things that are demanding my attention? And I remember in Bible study, God laying on my heart these things, that he needs to be the number one priority. The number one call on my life is to be a follower of Jesus, close to him, pursuing him, knowing him, making my life about him. And all these other things will find their place. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. And when I did that, all these other things fell in place. And I played rugby, but it didn't rule me. And I went to class, and I passed. And I probably should have studied more, but I passed. And God was placing all these things in their rightful place. And they actually became platforms for me to display what God was doing in my heart. And that's what a follower does. So don't get caught up in, well, must I quit my job? Must I do this? What does this mean? No, it's the posture of your heart. Is he number one priority? And then these things will fall into place. God will direct you. The third P, purpose. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What is Jesus saying when he says, follow me? Okay, we looked at proximity, priority, and then the third P, purpose. Look at verse 17 again. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. There was a clear agenda to what Jesus was calling them to. His mission was for them to become fishers of men. And can you see the contrast there between a fisher of men and what were they? They were fishermen. Their dreams and ambitions were small. God's dreams and ambitions were big. God was calling them to something bigger, something greater than what their lives were about. God wants to make them fishers of men. These four guys, as they followed, as they heard the call from God to follow him, they laid aside their small dreams, their small agendas, and they followed God's agenda and his mission, which is to simply, it is to know him. God invited them, Jesus invited them into his space to follow him, into relationship with him, to know him, and then secondly, to make him known. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ, to know Jesus, to run hard after Jesus, and to make him known, to be fishers of men. And so they laid aside these small dreams. I don't know what they were for these guys, for Andrew and Simon and James and John. It could have been their dream and ambition could have been to be the greatest fisherman in all of Galilee. Or the greatest fisherman in all of Israel. Maybe their ambition was to take over the family business, you know, of the Zebedee Fishing Incorporated and be the CEO one day. I don't know what their dreams were. But we do see that they laid it aside. They saw that that is small in comparison to what God was calling them to. Have we laid aside our small agendas and dreams and ambitions in life to follow Jesus? Or maybe a better way to ask it is, have you taken on Jesus' agenda for your life? When you evaluate your life, are you running hard after him? Are you seeking to know him in a deep, intimate, personal way? And are you making him known around you? Friends, colleagues, families, neighbors? Are we becoming fishermen? For these guys, it meant leaving their job. It meant leaving their families. Okay, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that. For AJ and Avon, that means that for them, to be a follower of Christ, to know him, to make him known, they are literally selling everything and they are going to Japan. They are leaving everything behind and they are going. It might mean that for you, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean that for everyone. But what it does mean is that this mission of Jesus, the purpose to know him and to make him known, radically shapes everything in our life. It's through that lens that we view our careers. It's through that lens that we view our money, our house, our families. When we have the priority right and we are walking in close proximity to Jesus, that mission shapes our lives to make disciples. And so we view our jobs as a platform to do what? To know him and to make him known. It becomes a platform to build relationships and to meet people and to bring the gospel to people. You might be a member of a golf club or a running club or a rowing club or whatever kind of club in your hobbies. It becomes a platform to do this very thing, to know Jesus and to make him known. Your neighbors, your colleagues at work, these become platforms for you to be fishers of men, to be followers of Christ. It should shape the way we think about those things. Our houses, our cars, the possessions that we have, are we using that to make Jesus known around us? Matthew 28, it's clear there, Jesus says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. What do you think was ringing in the minds of those disciples as they heard Jesus say to them? The last thing he said before he left them, he said, go and make disciples. What do you think was ringing in their ears as they heard that? I think this passage, Mark chapter 1, must have been prominent in their minds. They must have been thinking, what did Jesus do with us? He called us into proximity, priority, and purpose. That's what Jesus says, come follow me, come be my disciple. And they must have been thinking the same thing. Well, we need to do that with others. We must call them to follow us as we follow Christ. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church and he says to them, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. In other words, follow me as I follow Christ. True disciples, true followers make disciples. True followers of Christ make disciples. If you are following Christ, if you are a true follower of Christ, I want to ask us this morning, where are your followers? Who's following you as you follow Christ? That's what it meant. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Go make disciples. Be a disciple that makes disciples, that makes disciples, that makes disciples. It's what we've been called to. Lastly, as I close, I want to look at the response. What was the response of these disciples as they heard the call from Jesus to follow them? The response was a resounding, an emphatic, a clear yes. That's it. Yes, Lord, I want to walk near to you, in close proximity to you. I want to walk with you in an intimate way, day to day, moment by moment. Yes, Lord, I want to make you the number one priority. All these other things need to find second place and I will follow you first. Yes. And yes, Lord, I want to give my life that it might be used to bring others in. It was yes. That was the response from these men. And it ought to be our response. When we hear the call from Jesus to follow him, it needs to be yes. Now contrast this with Luke chapter 9, if we would go there quickly. Luke chapter 9 says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. I'll follow you. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. So Jesus called others to follow him too. But this person said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The only answer, guys, is yes. Yes, Lord. Not, Lord, I hear your call. I want to follow you, but let me first fix this and fix that and do this and do that. Yes, Lord. Yes, I want to be walking with you in an intimate way. Yes, I want you to be the priority of my life. And yes, I want to be involved in what you are doing in your mission in this world. Yes. So for application, I'd like us to challenge us this morning, today, to take 20 minutes. Today is the Sabbath. I think 20 minutes is a fair ask, just to be still before the Lord and evaluate your own following. Am I following Jesus like this Facebook version? Is my following of him distant and far and shallow? What are the areas in my life in terms of proximity, priority, and purpose? It needs to change. God needs to work in me that I need to be more of a follower of Christ. Take 20 minutes today just to spend some time before the Lord and let him speak into your heart and life as you evaluate. want to ask the dads. I know it's hard with kids. I have three young kids, and so would the dads take the kids for 20 minutes so that mom can go and just evaluate, spend some time with the Lord, and seek Him in these areas. Moms, would you take the kids for 20 minutes so that dad could get away for 20 minutes today and spend some time and ask the Lord to show these areas? That's the first one. The second one, I want to challenge you guys to seek out, okay? Men, seek out another man, an older man, one that is wiser, one that has walked a little bit further on this journey. Ask them, seek them out, say, would you go grab coffee with me so that I can walk and see and observe your life as you follow Christ? Okay, for us that are younger in our faith, we need older men and women in our lives that are going to show us the way. That's the way Jesus designed it. To follow Him means following others that are following Him. Seek those people out. And if you look at application number one and you know that your walk with God is not where it ought to be, I think this is a great application. Go find someone and say, would you invest in me? Would you meet with me regularly? Would you help me grow and mature as a Christian? Thirdly, look for men or women in the church that you can come alongside. If you are older and more mature and you realize, but I haven't really been, I follow Jesus, but I don't have a following. Go find some other men. Go find some other woman to really invest in and say, can I come alongside you and help you along in this journey? And then lastly, would you pray? Would you be so bold as to pray and ask God, would you make me a fisher of men? There are so many lost souls out there when we go to work, when you go to the mall, when you go to your clubs, your sports clubs, your hobbies, or whatever you do in your spare time. There are lost people everywhere. God has called us to be fishers of men. Would you pray, God, would you bring two or three people this year that I can share with? I can share my life with them, that I can share the gospel with them. God, would you make me into a fisher of men? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for your clear call. God, what an invitation to be with you, to walk with you, to journey with you. Lord, that we might become more like you. And so God, I pray for us this morning, Lord, that you would do this, that you would call us, that you would draw us in, that we might know you more intimately, more personally. God, save us from just the legalistic doing of things and ticking off things on our list, but that we would know you, God, in an intimate way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to make you the number one priority, Lord, as we hear so many loud voices from every direction in a week calling for our priority of our heart, Father, and we know that that needs to be you. Lord, help us to keep you front and center in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I do pray this, that you would make us fishers of men, Lord, that we would be salt and light in the world around us, Lord, drawing people in, that this would be our lifestyle, God. Every day it's an opportunity, it's a platform to know you and to make you known. May we be those kinds of followers, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.